Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers. I'm your host, Allison Bachman, and thank you for joining me today. For those of you who are listening to Visible by Numbers for the first time, let me give you a little background on myself. I have studied numerology for what seems to be a lifetime, and I currently am a professional numerologist, and I do readings for people all across the United States. And I also have taught many numerology workshops. And I also have studied a wide range of metaphysical subjects, mostly because I'm a seven life path, and that's what us sevens do. Now, for those of you that are unfamiliar with numerology, I'd like to just give you a brief explanation. Numerology is an ancient divination tool, and it was founded upon the teachings of Pythagoras, who lived in 560 AD. It has roots in ancient cultures such as Rome, Egypt, Greece, China, and it also has ties to the Hebrew Kabbalah. Now, numerology uses ancient knowledge about the spiritual qualities of numbers, and by using your date of birth and your birth name, numbers are calculated and the end result is your personal numerology chart, which speaks literally volumes about you. If ever there was an instruction booklet for your life, a numerology would be that manual. Numerology can be used as a method of understanding who you are on a deeper, in your deeper nature, your talents, what your life goals are. It explains your personality traits, your likes and dislikes, as well as your opportunities and challenges that you have in this lifetime. It also offers insights on where you're headed in life and what your potential destiny might eventually be. So it's a really wonderful, wonderful divination tool. Now, on the show today, I'll be taking your calls during the show, anytime during the show, to answer questions you might have about numerology in general. The subject of today's show, I'm going to be talking about karma, karmic debt numbers that are found in numerology chart, just to inform you a little bit about numerology. But you might also have a question about repetitive numbers that you're seeing. And if you would like for me to do like a little mini numerology reading for you, I'll also be happy to give you a little bit of numerology insight if you want to give me your date of birth. So the toll-free number to call in to speak to me is 1-877-876-5227. And one more time, it's 1-877-876-5227. Now, just so that you all know, there's no way that I can do a full numerology reading for you because we just don't have enough time in this hour that we spend together. And it usually takes almost an hour and a half to get through a full numerology chart. But by looking at your date of birth, I can give you information about your life path, your birthday number, your pentacles, your challenges, even your personal year. It can be quite insightful just getting that little bit of information from your date of birth. If you are interested in a full numerology reading, hey, visit my website. It's www.visiblebynumbers.com, and there's plenty of information there on how to get a hold of me for a full reading. Now, today's subject is karma, or more specifically, we're going to be talking about the karmic numbers found in a numerology chart. We'll be discussing their origins, their meanings, and how they shape insight into your past life. Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Gordon.
Hello? Who's calling?
Gordon.
Hi, Gordon.
Hi, how are you? I'm listening to you on the radio.
Well, great. Did you want me to do... Do you have a question, or did you want me to look at your date of birth and give you a little numerology?
Yes. Well, actually, I got a little dilemma. I was born, like, on the cusp between the 25th and the 26th of February.
What was specifically on your birth certificate, Gordon?
Well, I know they doctored it, but it was 2-26-64.
Okay, 2-26-64. Is that correct? And what was the other day? It would be the 25th or the 27th?
The 25th.
Okay. Okay. Well, let me just ask you something. Let me see if we can maybe resolve this a little bit. Your birthday number is a 25, and that would give me an indication that perhaps you're more drawn to a more spiritual feeling about yourself, that you're a spiritual being, and that it's very possible that you, you know, might feel a little bit like a little bit of a wise old sage. I'm very drawn to the metaphysical. Would that be the case if it was the 25th?
I feel spiritually oriented in this life.
Hold on. Can we ask the caller to turn off his internet or his radio?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, okay. 1 second.
The feedback.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Better?
I wasn't hearing the feedback, but apparently they were, Gordon, so I guess that's better. So,
oh, okay. Great.
Okay. So you do feel spiritually orientated. Well, let's take a look at what was on your birth certificate. Were you born, like, exactly at midnight?
Well, my mom said I was born actually at 10 to midnight, but my birth certificate was doctored because I was born in the wrong part of the hospital, and we could have sued them.
So what does your mother say was your birthday?
10 to midnight on the 25th, but I, you know, I always got my astrological chart.
Right. Well, numerology and astrology are quite similar, but there is some you know, real differences. Let's look at, for instance, we'll look at your birth date being the 25th.
Okay.
I'll give you a little bit of information. I'll tell you what I can tell just from that information. It's not your full chart, but it does give me some information. Using February 25th, 1964,
mm-hmm.
this gives you an 11 life path. So this tells me that you're a messenger, that, you know, you have some real serious psychic abilities and the ability to bring forth a message from the spiritual realm. Do you experience a lot of psychic phenomena in your life and feel a real connection to that, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience?
Oh, I believe in it, yeah.
Do you experience it, though?
What's the word?
Well, have you had these experiences in your life?
Oh, just when I'm asleep, mostly when I'm asleep as a wide awake? No, not really. Just a few here and there, but not wide awake, somewhere where I'm just daydreaming.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, if you were reusing this February 25th, 1964, it would give you an 11 life path, which would really make you a messenger. And most people that have an 11 life path really understand when you ask them about psychic experience or unusual phenomenon in their life. They really can relate to that because this is a way of life for them. And this says that you will carry with you the ability to be a real diplomat, a very peaceful person, that you're a very sensitive person. You're sensitive to energies around you. You can read other people, feel how they're feeling. You get good, you know, you get good readings on them. Does that make sense to you?
How can I say? Well, that's
if it's not, we can switch to the 226 and we can see what that says.
Well, you know, 225, it's a strange. Again, I've had some real spiritual experiences while I was asleep.
Oh, absolutely. Right.
That's where the most of them came that I really can't explain away from the time I was a child. Now, as an adult, what I do, I'm more sensitive. Like, for instance, if there's an energy around me, I can feel it more so than other people.
That's what I was saying. That you can feel energy around you. Very sensitive to your environment.
Wait, if I might walk into a different place or something, I can feel how the energy is different. Like,
right.
I, for instance, I moved from Queens to the Bronx because where I was living, the environment was so negative. Even, you know, everybody looked at me and said, oh, he moved from a nice place to a bad place because of what they see on TV about the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, if there are certain parts of the Bronx that are much better than Queens because of the energy of the people, we have more trees, more open spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I might sit next to people. They make me nauseous. Or I might look at a person, they make me a little nauseous.
Right.
And it seems like the person's almost following me. I might move away, and then before you know it, they seem to work their way over to me, and I get nauseous again.
Well,
but my spiritual
like you,
group said that, I'm sorry.
It sounds like you're very sensitive to your environment.
There you go.
The other way, if we were to look at the 26th birthday, for instance, this tells me that you're a three-life path, which a person that comes in with a three-life path, they're very uplifting, optimistic, they like to express themselves. But that's not to say that a person as a three-life path doesn't have prophetic dreams, because that's one of the keynotes of having a three as your life path number. You have these really amazing prophetic dreams that possibly foretell the future. The birthday number makes a big difference. So I'm going to ask you if you could identify with this energy, which is the energy of this birthday number, the 26th, the difference. And what that is saying is that, you know, that you really, you know, have a very keen business sense. It's important, you know, achievement is important to you. Being successful, this gives you a certain amount of determination and ambition and wanting to have a career. And that you balance between the spiritual and the material, which means that, you know, being successful is of great importance, and material things are your way of showing that you're doing well. Now, that's how I would explain a 26. Do you relate to that energy at all?
Well, this is how it is. When I got a psychic reading, for instance, the spiritualist says to me that you're an achiever, that you have the power to produce great wealth and all of that stuff because of whatever. But you got kind of blocked in a way because of your abusive childhood, so you never actually opened up to what you could achieve. So when I get a spiritual reading, the first thing they say, because I haven't done much in this life, they'll say, do not let any more opportunities pass you by. That's a big problem, and change your pattern of thought and the limitation that you placed in life, because you have a great spiritual power to produce unbelievable wealth. But
well, if
at the
that
same
is
time,
the you, you, your love and life path is one of very well could be fame and fortune and being in the limelight. So, you know, I still think that
I kind of feel like I don't fame and fortune is not it, or being in the limelight. I think it's more like just the opposite of that, but they're saying the potential on a spiritual level. But in the same thing, in the same reading, they'll tell me, well, you have many spiritual gifts, but you have to redevelop them because you have to tap the energy. You have to rediscover the energy. And they'll say various things, the healing, the clairvoyance, so forth, like that.
Right.
But they say it has to be rediscovered.
Right. Well, Gordon, let me tell you something, okay? I want to tell you this, okay? A psychic, I've done side-by-side readings with psychics, some really extraordinary psychics.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that my clients come back and they tell me is they say to me, listen, they just got done saying the same thing that you just got done saying to me with your numerology reading. And what I want to tell you is that in numerology, when we've got the right date of birth and the right name for the person, literally what I'm tapping into through the numbers is your energy. And I'm tapping into it by looking at these numbers, allowing these numbers to speak to me, and then coming through with my own intuitiveness and also my interpretation of knowledge of numerology and reading for you. Now, when a psychic taps into you, they're not using the numbers. They're actually using clairvoyance, clairaudience or clairvoyance, or just to see the very same things that I'm seeing about you through the numbers. So a psychic reading and a numerology reading are very much one in the same, but I would wager to say that you would get a lot more information from a numerology reading as far as your own specific energy and what you're here to do. Now, without being able to look at, and I don't have the time to be able to go through your full name and look at you in that manner, I would really encourage you to, you know, get a reading where you're looking at both days of that may or may not be your day of birth, bringing your name into it so that you have the full picture. And I'm telling you, with a numerology reading, you've got an hour and a half worth of information. You definitely will identify to one or the other, because these are very different life paths, very different birthdays. Your challenges are different. Your pinnacles are different. So there's a lot of different ways where you can determine which one of these charts is correct for you. I can only tell you that a psychic reading and a numerology reading are one and the same. It's just I tap into the numbers. They're tapping in using clairvoyance or clairaudience or clairsentience or whatever it is that they use, okay? So, you know, maybe you can my email, and like I said, I don't have enough time on the show to be able to help you out here,
mm-hmm.
but my email address is right there on the page for me. Why don't you email me your name and your dates of birth again and remind me, and I'll see what I can come up for you when I got some more time.
Oh,
okay?
Great. But off of the back, what did it seem more like to you that I was?
I don't get a lot of the three. When I feel your energy, frankly, I'm not getting a lot of the three and the eight from you. I'm getting a lot of this dreamer-like. You're kind of like connected to a spiritual realm that kind of makes you a little bit ungrounded, and I'm feeling that from you.
Well,
so I'm
that's
more
the biggest
apt to want to go with
life.
The 25th.
No grounding whatsoever.
Well, that's what I'm feeling with you, and I want to go to the 25th, and that's really where I want to put your energy, and that's where I want to read you from. But you know what? If you give me your full name, and I don't want you to do it over the air, certainly, but, you know, email that to me and remind me about this particular conversation, and I'll be happy to explore it a little bit further with you, okay?
Oh, thanks a lot, dear.
Okay, thank you so much, Gordon,
okay.
for calling. I appreciate it.
All right, I'm listening to the show. Take care.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
That's great. All right, hold on.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. All right, now getting back. I'm trying to think of exactly where I was, because I get a little ungrounded when I start to read people, so you have to excuse me a second. Today's subject, as I said, was karma, and we're specifically talking about karmic numbers found in a numerology chart, and we will be discussing their origins, their meanings, and how they shed insight into your past lives. So if you happen to be sitting there and you're born on the 13th, the 14th, the 15th, or the 19th, right off the bat, you know that you have a karmic number in your chart. If you happen to know that you have karmic number in your numerology chart, you really might want to listen to this show, because hopefully I will help you to understand their significance, okay? And also later on the show, if I got time, I did get some emails from listeners that had some really good questions about last week's show when we talked about personal years. So, you know, hopefully I'll be able to get to them as well. Now, what is karma exactly? And we recognize that karma is based on reincarnation, and that we are spiritual beings who, in each lifetime, seek to further evolve into our highest state of awareness. In each lifetime, we gather wisdom and seek to make good choices that enable us to move forward. But, you know, sometimes this is just not always the case. We can and we do make errors and abuse many of the gifts that were given to us. And in order to correct these errors, we agree to take on additional lessons, you know, in our next lifetime to make up for what we did not learn in our past lifetime. And these additional lessons are what we call karmic debt. Now, what I said before was that karmic debt numbers are 13, 14, 16, and 19. And they take on significance when they're found in the core numbers. When we reduce a number, whether when it's found in the date of birth or in a name, it comes out. You come out usually with a double-digit number, and you have to reduce it to a single digit. Well, you have to look at those double-digit numbers first and identify any karmic numbers there before you move on to reducing it. Now, obviously, karmic numbers are only found when the final number is a 4, a 5, or a 7, or a 1. Now, I'm going to just give, at this moment, just a little brief explanation of how these karmic debt numbers affect us, okay? So just a little bit of a brief one, and hopefully we'll have time to go into a little bit more detail. A person that has a 13 will have to work very hard to accomplish things, and they may have a sense of frustration because, you know, things are not as easy for them. Life actually presents obstacles for them. Sometimes they might even, you know, there's a sense of frustration and futility. They might be tempted to give up sometimes or even, you know, like, what's the point? Why bother? And it might even affect their self-image. Now, the key to overcoming this particular karma is by disciplining, focusing your energy. And you really just have to make a very steady and consistent effort. And if you do, you know, there can be a lot of reward and success, even with, you know, a 13 in your chart. If you have a 14 in your chart, you're dealing with being taught about adaptability and flexibility. And your life may have a series of ever-changing or unexpected events and circumstances. I mean, quite often it's actually described a 14-5 life path is like a roller coaster. There's also one thing that goes along with a 14-5 is a possible indication of abuse of the physical body having to do with the five senses. And one thing that a 14-5 is learning is moderation and temperance and learning how to control their desire for freedom. You know, and in the desire for freedom, they don't like boundaries. And quite often they have to learn this moderation when it comes to the physical body. The 16, in this scenario, this person is learning about faith. And there's a constant destruction of the old and rebirth in the life of a 16-7 life path. And if you have a 16-7 other areas of your chart, there can be maybe to a lesser degree, but there certainly is a destruction of the old and rebirth of the new going on when you have a 16 in your chart. And there may be a series of events in your life that kind of bring you to the bottom only to rise up again. It's almost like you fall only to rise up again. And this continues on. It's a struggle between the ego and the divine will. And this pattern will continue until you finally grasp the notion that you must honor the spiritual higher nature in all things, and you must rebuild your life upon those principles. So the key to the karmic debt for 16 is humility and also finding faith. Now, if a person has a 19 in their chart, this person is learning independence and proper use of power. And the lesson here in the 19-1 is no man is an island. And that independence means, you know, it's not all about standing alone, that you actually, you know, you need other people in your life to give you perspective, to help you along the way. Usually 19-1s are concerned with their own needs. They have tendency to be aware of what other people need. And sometimes 19-1s can even, they actually can end up even becoming very dependent on other people and unable to fix that situation. They just remain somebody else's problem. They can't stand on their own two feet. Now, by definition, karma, whether it's good or bad, is playing out the universal cause and effect, which takes place over many lifetimes. You reap what you sow. But it's a labor that the soul needs to be righted, and that's karma. Now, I kind of wrote down a couple of things here that one of these is actually an excerpt from a book that, you know, you're going to laugh at the title. I know you're laughing, but The Complete Idiot's Guide to Numerology is really an excellent, wonderful book that really does a great job of teaching numerology and explaining numerology. And I do recommend it actually to my students as a starter book and as a beginner book when you're just starting off trying to learn numerology. And this particular excerpt comes from that book. And it's another way to look at the meaning of the karmic numbers. When it's a 13, it's when creative energy and joyfulness turns into frivolity and superficialness. The 14 is when discipline and hard work and accountability and stability turns into rebelliousness and indulgence in an effort to escape what is required. The 16 is a symbol of love and commitment that has been forsaken. And the 19 is wisdom and spiritual knowledge and power that's been used for personal gain. Now, there's another excerpt that I just want to mention, and this comes from Behind Numerology, a book that was written by Shirley Blackwell Lawrence, and I quite like the way this is put. I just wanted to put it into the show. There is a need for all karmic numbers, 13, 14, 16, and 19, to develop the spiritual side of their nature. That is a strong, loving force that balances out all negative conditions. So really, it's a labor of love for the soul in order to right what is wrong, and I really like the way that was put in her book. Now, karmic numbers, where they're found, is in your core numbers, and the core numbers are, as I said, derived from your date of birth and the name that you were given at birth. The life path number comes from the day you were born, birthday number from, well, that comes from the addition of the month, day, and year of the day you were born. The birthday number is the actual day that you were born. The expression number comes from your name, all the letters in your name, heart's desire. It's all the vowels in your name, and the personality number is derived from the consonants in your name. Now, I'm going to start you know, I remind all of you, you know, you're more than welcome to call with your questions, but I'm just going to kind of go into a little bit more detail on the different karmic numbers, just to help inform you in the event that you might have one of these in your chart, or perhaps you're learning about numerology and this might, you know, help make them make more sense for you when you're learning about karma. Now, the 13, this number indicates that you're working on a lesson about discipline and the value of hard work. You know, it comes from a past lifetime where you may have actually avoided work, letting others, you know, do your fair share of it. And you might even have been irresponsible when it came to work, maybe even taking the easiest path that rather than applying yourself and your talents, you know, you take the path of least resistance, more or less. Now, another aspect of this karmic number is that you may have had problems expressing yourself in the sense that you may have been too blunt or perhaps manipulating or even negative in how you chose to express yourself. You know, it's kind of like telling it like it is, you know, but actually what you part of what you're working on in this lifetime, too, is working on the spiritual consciousness when it comes to expressing yourself, and this can play into the 13 karma. Now, what's the meaning? What does it mean to a person when they have a 13 in their chart? Well, a person who has this number in their chart has an opportunity to succeed, but only through focusing their energy on one task at a time and disciplining themselves by working very hard. They must accept limitations and restrictions in their life and maintain order at all times. I mean, really, literally maintain order. You know, if your computer desk is a mess and you're 13, it's time to clean it up and organize it. You know, any attempt to take a shortcut or easy way out will backfire on a 13. So, you know, they can't, you know, things like playing the lotto, you know, gambling or taking a big risk is not really going to work out for a person that has a 13 in their chart. Because in this lifetime, they can't take the easy way out. The only way is through discipline. They also have to try to find some sort of satisfaction in work and getting a job well done and remaining positive in their attitude. You know, and that might be a little difficult to do because it seems as though they really do have to put in more effort than others. They might find a sense of frustration about that as well. You know, they so-and-so gets ahead faster than I do, and I have to work harder, and I have to overcome more things than they do. You know, it just plain simple things just don't come as easy to a 13. It's required that they learn discipline. So to succeed with this karma, you have to maintain order in your life. Order is essential to your success. You must maintain a schedule, keep your appointments, follow through, keep everything around you neat, tidy, under control, never procrastinate. And if you do, you know, bring this discipline into your life, you know, there's a lot of success and reward that comes. You just have to overcome and bring this discipline into your life. And if you do, you know, you can be very successful. Now, I also, you know, have to mention that sometimes, you know, I do a chart for 13, and sometimes they actually add in even more rules and regulations into their life, you know, unnecessary rules and regulations. And so sometimes that comes in the form of a person that's trying, you know, to balance out the energy of the four, and they actually create more problems for themselves. But anyhow, the good news is that many people attain very successful lives having the 13 in a chart, and I'm just, you know, I happen to look up for you some examples of some fairly prominent people to give you an idea. People such as L.L. Bean, Tennessee Ernie Ford, L. Ron Hubbard, Neil Sedaka, Thomas Jefferson, Stevie Wonder, Harrison Ford, Alfred Hitchcock, Margaret Thatcher, Robert Louis Stevenson, and even Whoopi Goldberg. Poor Whoopi. Whoopi has a 13 as well. So you see... Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
Oh, I was going to see if you could get anything off of my birthday.
Okay. Who is this?
Oh, this is Chris.
Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm really good.
Okay, hold on a second, Chris. And just give me a second. What is your day of birth?
Well, the day...
Well, give me your birthday, your date of birth.
All right, 11-20-1973.
1973. Yep. Is that right? Yep. Okay. Give me a second. And we'll see what we got. November 20th, 1973.
Yep.
Okay. Well, first off, looking at your life path number, you have a sixth life path. You know, so this tells me that, you know, responsibility to family or family is all around you. You know, this is a focal central point of your life. I don't know if you come from a big family or an extended family, but definitely, you know, part of the reason why you came was your energy, you know, circles around duty and responsibility, love, care, and nurturing of,
yeah,
building relationships with your family. This tells me, you know, what some of your personal talents, what you're really, really good at. Number one, you are a kind and caring person, the type of a cosmic father energy, meaning you're just excellent with children. You would be an excellent teacher for children or any kind of work with children, that you you also love of family is such a central point in your life. You're a good friend. This is really kind, sympathetic, caring friend energy.
Mm-hmm.
People come to you, you know, to with their problems.
Yeah.
You have a very good balance about you when it comes to seeing both sides of situations. And so you're better able to, you know, give people advice regarding their problems. You see both sides. You come up with the middle of the road sort of a solution. This might work a little bit hard for you in your life because sometimes you can make decisions or help other people with their problems, but you can't make a decision for yourself to save your soul because you're so bad. You see both sides. It's hard for you to decide which thing to do. You know what I mean? Okay. But it's a very musical ability comes in with this particular life path.
Yeah.
I don't know if you play a musical instrument or you've ever considered singing or anything along those lines, but between that and your birthday, you got a really good sense of rhythm, and you do have an ability with music. Do you play any musical instrument?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Well, good.
Play instruments and sing plenty of tunes. So
wonderful.
You're right on with that one.
Well, that's good because you're gifted at that. Let's see. What else? Oh, and you do have a sense of, you know, liking things. I mean, usually with guys, okay, I'm not... Women, if you were a woman, I'd say you're interior decorator type, the type that likes the house beautiful and spends a lot of time making the house cozy. But certainly you appreciate, you know, a nice-looking house and fixing it up and taking care of it, and you appreciate nice things. You know, this comes in love of beauty in the sixth life path and wanting to make things look better.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, you know, be interested in gardening and little repair jobs around the house.
Sure.
You have artistic ability, you know, with this sixth life path.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, healing ability as well. I mean, you because of your love, your heart energy, your love energy. And, you know, when you send out that love energy to people, you help heal them. So this comes in with this. Now, your birthday number tells me that you're a very sensitive person. And when I mean sensitive, I mean you really are influenced by your environment and the things that are around you. And you really do sense the way people are feeling. You're very sensitive to... you know, your partner or your loved ones, you tune right into them.
Yeah.
This gives you a little bit of excellent, excellent intuition, even some psychic ability. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you are clairsentient, meaning you read people.
Oh,
it makes
yeah.
you somewhat of an empath. You actually feel people. Do you understand
yeah.
that?
Very good, yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, with this thing with family, you know, you got the family. You're also the peacemaker. Here's more peacemaking. You know, I've always... You don't like the arguments. You don't like the confrontations, you know. In order for someone to have a fight with you, they got to find you because you really don't want to go there. You don't want to feel that aggression or that anger or because you can literally feel negative energy, you know.
Yeah.
So you are a peacemaker with this 20 as well. And, you know, when it comes to family, you're going to bend over backwards to make them happy, you know, because you don't want to fight with them. And you are a balanced person and you love them so much that you're going to give away pieces of yourself. So much of yourself trying to maintain peace and harmony in your life between the sixth life path, the 20 birthday, that you're going to give away, you know, maybe what you need in your life. You understand me?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you need to balance, really, in your life, little piece of advice, balance between giving love to others and also receiving it and giving it to yourself, okay? Because you're a giver. You're the kind of person that would give it all. In the name of love for the people you love. And you've got to give back to yourself. Take time for yourself. Do for yourself. Do you understand that?
Yep, I do.
Okay, wonderful. You are a very... Your chart is very unusual. I'm going to tell you this. You have zero challenges all across the board. I know that doesn't mean anything to you because you don't know what challenges are. But to a numerologist, that means a lot. And it's a very old soul, and I really would like to look at your whole chart as the whole thing. You know, I get very curious when I see this. But it does mean that you're very old souled. There's really no real challenges, number challenges in front of you. Your soul can pick and choose what it wants to accomplish in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking at your pentacles real quick, I'm just going to pull a little information out of there. Boy, I don't know if there was a lot of limitation on you as a child or rules and regulation. I don't know if you were in boot camp or what, but you definitely, you know, you were definitely did not have the freedom. When you were younger, there was just a lot of discipline and a lot of rules and regulations. You may have felt as though, you know, I don't know, boot camp. would that be fair?
Not a bad description. Yep, that's kind of kind of like how it was.
Yeah, definitely something going on there, and it really is not stopped yet. I mean, maybe now it's changed in what it is, meaning maybe it's hard work, working overtime, working a lot. But you're still in this four pinnacle, so it's a lot of rules and regulations and hard work and disciplining yourself and building a solid foundation in your life. That's what's going on with you now. But for heaven's sakes, you know, early on, you know, there's a lot of infringement on your freedom in the early part of your life.
Yep.
I can tell you in the three year this year, so I'm going to tell you right off the bat, good year for creativity, good year to write that music, play that music, socialize, be with your friends. Very creative, good year for you. So if you do any kind of writing, any kind of music, great year for you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Cool. Well, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, nice work.
Okay. Bye, yeah. Chris. Okay. I'm going to have to learn to get a bookmark and put it down where it was when I get a call. All right. Gosh. I'm hoping I was starting the 14. Forgive me if I'm repeating anything. Like I said, when I get reading people, just like when anyone, when they do reading, it's almost like you go to a different place when you're doing that reading, and it's, sometimes it's really kind of hard to come back down to reality and to something, you know, like figuring out where you were. Okay. Now, I'm going to start with the 14. I'm hoping I wasn't there, okay? If I was, I apologize. Going to go back over again. If you have a 14 in your chart, it's a pretty good indication in a past life that you misused, avoided, or misunderstood freedom in some way. So in this lifetime, you're definitely learning the value of freedom and the discipline involved to earn it. Possibly in a past life, you chose your own personal freedom over the cost of another's. And you may have been irresponsible and lacked accountability for your actions. And another scenario that is a possibility in the past life is that you might even have not taken advantage of freedom when it was offered to you. You might have kind of stayed stuck in a rut. Now, what does it mean to have a 14 in your chart, or what does that 14 mean to you? Well, one thing's for certain, you will have to adapt to constant changing circumstances and get used to the unexpected. But at the same time, keep your eye on your dreams and your goals and persevere without falling into any kind of escape mechanism. Because there is a danger of falling victim to the abuse of the body, such as abuse of drugs, alcohol, even indulgence when it comes to sex. This comes in with the 14. So it's important to learn moderation, or in other words, temperance. It's also as if this person or a person with a 14 maintains some sense of order, despite the ever-changing circumstances that come their way. And the key to the 14 is commitment. I mean, life will resemble a little bit of a roller coaster ride, like I said before, but if you just travel in the right direction, you know, follow your heart and do what's true and good, you know, everything will work itself out. You have to set yourself goals, maintain order whenever it's possible, because it's not going to be easy to maintain order in your life. You have to avoid excessive sensory indulgence and maintain faith. And don't give up on your dreams, you know. Just be really flexible and adaptable and kind of learn to roll with the punches when you have a 14 in your chart. Now, to give you some examples of some famous 14s, Donald Trump, Fitzcharles, Dwight Eisenhower, E.E. Cummings, Ralph Lauren, Magic Johnson, Danielle Steele, Gerald Ford, George Lucas, Pete Rose, Albert Einstein, and even Andy Rooney. These are people that have 14s prominently in their chart. Now we're going to move on to the 16 and, you know, get a little bit more in depth on the 16th. And, you know, right here I got to say, well, hello and welcome to my life because, you know, I'm a 16-7 life path. So, you know, I kind of have a personal relationship with this number. And this karmic debt stems from, oh, I almost hate to say this now, but it stems from a past involvement with an illicit love affair. And, oops, I'm hearing someone beeping in. Somebody there?
Yeah, Allison?
Yes, hi.
Who's this? This is Cece from the Villages.
Hi, Cece. How are you?
I'm doing great.
What can I do for you?
I have a question.
Uh-oh.
Does the day of your birth have, I mean, I know the, how important that is, but what happens if your birth was induced or delayed or manipulated some way and
okay.
you really weren't born on a natural date?
Right.
That
doesn't, right. Understand what you're saying, and I'm going to tell you that that was not a coincidence, okay?
Okay.
You came in on the day you were supposed to come in, whether it was through C-section, whether it was the doctor said we want to deliver on this day and the mother changes it to another. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's the day that you were meant to be born.
Okay.
So that if that answers your question, because numerology is based on the fact that there's nothing by coincidence, and that includes the name that you were given and the day that you were born. So you might say, you know, sometimes people say, you know, well, I was named, you know, they pulled this one willy-nilly out of a book, you know, or how could my parents possibly name me the right thing? But you have to understand something deeper going on when a child's in utero and that there is a soul communication between the child and the parents. And there's a communication going on, and so that the parents, as they struggle and try to find the right words to name their child, when they finally get it right, then the child is happy, and that's what they agree on, and that's what they decided to name the child. But it's definitely done by intuition. Same thing goes with your birthday. You're born on the day you're supposed to be born on.
Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank
you
for the information, and keep up the good work.
Thanks,
Cece. You've got a great program here.
Okay. Thanks, Cece.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, that's nice to hear from Cece. She was one of my students on the Sea Angels cruise. She actually took 5 workshops, and so, you know, I guess that was really nice to hear from her, and that was a really good question. Okay, getting back to the 16-7, and I actually made a note. Aren't you proud of me? Okay. We were talking about that the 16-7 failed to act responsibly when it came to matters of love. There may have been little regard for the feelings of others involving love. And, you know, there might even have been a breach of love and commitment to family. The 16-7 may very well have caused the loss of a family to another person in a past lifetime. I mean, when you think of the scenario, if you fall in love with someone and perhaps they're married to someone else, and because of your love for each other, you know, somebody loses a family somewhere. So that can be part of the karma with the 16-7. Now, the meaning for the 16-7 is if they quite often have a hard time maintaining relationships and also have a hard time relating to others, especially if the relationship itself is difficult. I mean, it's not unusual to have someone with a 16 in their chart, you know, to have this number, to have strange and sudden circumstances which actually brings about the loss of friends or relationships or even marriages. It's a continual cycle of destruction, tearing down of your life, requiring you to begin again and start over. And each time this happens, you're being awakened to a much higher spiritual truth. And hopefully, you're building your life over again on higher spiritual ground. And this is a path of great personal development as well as spiritual development. And there may be times in your life when you're taught lessons in humility even, because somewhere along the way, your ego has separated you from the divine. And having that deeper understanding of selfless love and universal truth. So this whole process is meant to reconnect you to the divine. And each time, you know, the one beautiful blessing of the 16-7 is each time you have to start over, you're in a better person. You actually are better because of the fall. The most important things about 16-7 is learning faith. Because in that knowledge, I can testify, it really brings you to a place of peace and tranquility in your life once you come to that moment of faith, and that's really where the 16-7 is bringing you. Now, famous 16s, besides myself, no, just kidding,
John McEnroe, Charlie Chaplin, Henry Fonda, Liberace, Deborah Winger, Janet Jackson, Corey Feldman, Madonna, Kathy Lee Gifford, David Copperfield, Mickey Rourke, Beethoven, and here we go with Donald Trump again. And, you know, I really don't think that Donald is listening, but in the event that he is listening, I have to give him kudos because I've studied Donald's chart, and he's got a lot of karmic numbers in his chart, and he's doing really, really well. So keep it up, Donald. Okay. All right. I'm just kidding again. All right. Now going to this 19-1, okay, this is the final karmic number we're going to discuss. I'm trying to get it done here quick. This karmic number represents an abuse of power in a past lifetime, and it indicates that this person knew what spiritual law was and also were in a position of power, and they came to a time where they actually chose for themselves rather than for the good of others, and it was done in a very completely self-centered way. They were only concerned with their very own needs and desires. It's kind of like they knew better, but they did it anyway. They knew the spiritual truth. They were in a position of power, and they chose for themselves. This person quite often comes in without their power and is dependent upon others. They have problems with failing to stand up for themselves. They can stubbornly resist getting help from others. They often tend to be a little self-centered, have difficulties becoming aware of the needs or feelings of others, or even the effect that they have on other people. They may have been born in circumstances where they might even be dominated over by a controlling parent, or in circumstances where they are actually powerless. This teaches the soul what it feels like to be powerless so that they can make better use out of that knowledge in a future lifetime. When you're 19-1, life will give you experiences where you have to learn to stand on your own, to feed, stand up for yourself, and at the same time, become aware of your need for others. This karma definitely teaches you that no man is an island and that we all are interconnected. And famous 19-1s would be Bill Clinton, Ted Turner, Larry King, Matthew Perry, Gene Roddenberry, Paul Abdul, Grace Jones, Kate Hudson, Bruce Willis, Janis Joplin, and Edgar Allan Poe. So, you know, you have to look at it as a labor of love for your soul to come in and to work extra on the lessons of karma. You know, and understanding your karma and what it is really the first step to overcoming it. So that is, you know, part of the purpose of me discussing karma today on Visible by Numbers, just to give you a little bit of heads up and, you know, hopefully you learn from it. Now, I'm going to remind everyone, I think we've got about 10 more minutes on the show, and I am taking phone calls if you want. If you got a question about numerology, that's great. If you want me to do a little mini reading for you based on your date of birth, I'd be happy to do that. That number is 1-877-876-5227. Again, that number is 1-877-876-5227. Now, I did receive some questions from listeners last week, and I'm going to try to give to them. Last week, I told you all about your personal years. And I did get a couple of emails. I don't know if they couldn't get through or couldn't call in. But one of them says, Allison, I heard the last part of your show on personal year numbers, and I missed the part on how to calculate it and was wondering if you could figure out mine and let me know what it means. I was born May 4th, 1972. Thank you, Benny. Well, thank you, Benny, for your email. And, you know, to calculate your personal year, you add May, which is a 3 plus 4, and then the universal year for this year is an 8. 2006 is an 8. So you add it all together, and you've got a 6 personal year. So what does that mean, Benny? Well, this is a very good year for finances for you, but it's definitely a year that brings in family and building relationships and working on relationships with family. You might even, if you're married, be working on relationships with your wife and your children. It's definitely a year where you may be required to, you know, help out a family member in some way. Maybe there might be someone sick that's in need of your help. But there's a lot of duty and responsibility that comes in, a lot of issues with family in a 6 Whoops. I hear someone. Hi, who's calling?
Hi, Allison. This is Linda.
Hi, Linda.
I'd like to know, can I have a reading if I give you my birth date?
Sure you can. Hold on just 1 second, okay?
All right.
Let me get a little ready for you. Okay, give me your birthday, Linda.
September 10th, 1952.
September 10th?
Yes.
Okay.
1952, and Allison.
1952. Okay. Got it. Give me a second, okay?
Okay.
You still there, Linda?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. I thought I heard another beat. All right. This tells me, okay, first of all, let's talk about your life path number and your nun life path. So
okay.
This is a very high spiritual path. This is the path of a spiritual teacher, but it definitely draws you to a more spiritual philosophy as being part of your life. It's definitely the life path of a humanitarian, meaning that you're a very compassionate person, that you're the type of individual that is more than willing to help out your weaker brothers and sisters and use your energy in some fashion to make this world a better place. This is all the energy of the nine. Does this make sense to you?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I mean, I've worked with, as I said, some really wonderful psychics and mediums, and I happen to know, you know, the life path numbers of them, and it could be a very psychic life path as well. I mean, I've literally worked with people with nine life paths that there's a lot of intuition and a lot of ability that comes in with this nine life path. Now, in your life, you definitely have to give selfless service. And that, what I mean by that is you're learning about selfless service, giving without expecting anything in return. And you may have had issues in your life regarding relationships where, you know, it's a little bit like a country western song, you know. You may have had problems with relationships and with people, and, you know, and this is all teaching you about unconditional love. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, it does.
Okay. All right. And then I'm going to tell you, being a nine, that you really, really, really have to just, you know, give love for the sake of giving love and really don't expect anything in return and don't try to hold on to it too tightly. If you just, you know, be a loving person and be in a place of love, in a state of love, love will naturally be by your side. But if you try to hold on to it, it'll escape you, okay?
Okay, I understand what you're saying on that, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when I look at your birthday, this is a 10, and that's kind of an indication of good karma. We've been talking about, the negative karma.
Uh-huh.
Well, the 10 is good karma. I mean, this really is the 9 is a life path of completion. You are completing something in this lifetime. That's what the 9 life path is saying. But this 10 is saying she is completing something as well, and it's good. It's something good that you're completing. And this gives a lot more of positive vibrations to your energy because it means that it gives you better ability to do what it is you came to complete. And this one makes you very much an individual. And so you make up your own mind about things. You have your own set of opinions. You really don't want to be like everyone else. You kind of dance to your own drumbeat, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right on. I realize now I'm I'm getting clear vision, more groundment.
Okay.
I could say that's like completing. It's changing old habits.
Right, right. Well, whenever you're nine, you're letting go. You're finishing up things. Yeah.
Yeah, and just trying to be a better person.
Right, right. You're definitely being pushed. This is high spiritual teacher energy, that nine life path. So you're definitely being, usually nines end up being spiritual teachers. You have artistic ability, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to not say that, but I'm hearing it now and I'm seeing it. So, you know, the spiritual, the artistic ability that comes in with this nine too. So I don't know if you've ever thought about writing a book or doing any kind of artwork, but definitely you have that ability. The 10 says that you're very creative, very original ideas comes in with this 10 as well. A very leadership skills as well comes in with this 10. You're in a 9 year this year. So this year you're letting go of a lot of things. You're kind of like cleaning mental house and physical house. You're finishing up things and kind of letting go of things that no longer serve your greatest and highest good. Do you feel that energy this year?
Oh, that's what I was telling you. Yes, letting go. And I wasn't trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just trying to be, not that I was a bad person, but I'm just trying to be a better person, the best person I can be.
Yeah,
that's what
well,
I'm trying
this,
to do.
Yeah, and this is the year where you let go. It's kind of like you're taking assessment of your life and you're letting go of all the things that you no longer need or that do not serve your greatest and highest good, and you may feel as though you're literally doing a cleaning house this year. So you're in a 9 personal year. I can tell you that in your first pinnacle, you were being you know, when I look at that, it's telling me right away that you, you know, had to stand up for yourself, that you were maybe, I don't know if you were left on your own a lot or independent a lot, or you were struggling to be independent, but that's what comes in with the first pentacle. Your biggest challenge in life, I'm running out of time, but your biggest challenge in life has really been to love yourself and to know your self-worth, okay?
Oh, can I ask you something real quickly, Allison? How am I going to be when I'm older in life financially?
How am I going to be? Okay, well, you're going, you're should be in an eight pentacle. And financially, I'm going to tell you, as a nine, it's never going to really be about the money for you, but the eight does say that abundance should start flowing into you and you should be a lot better off with that eight being in that position. Your last pinnacle from now until the day you leave this earth is eight, and that is about abundance, and that is about material things flowing to you. But you've got to remember your nine life path, so you also have to share the wealth and help others with whatever abundance comes to you. This is a time where you really got to be efficient, use solid judgment, and as long as you pay attention to details, and things should go well for you. It's definitely an eight, so that's good. It's good for the last yeah. pinnacle. Okay?
You know what? You verified everything. I think I'm on the right track, but I think astrology is God's map. I don't think he just put you here on Earth. In numerology, the same thing.
Right. It's
God's
wonderful.
Map. It's a guide. It's a
yes,
guide.
It is. It's a, everyone should have the numerology attached to them when they come in. That's what I say.
Oh, I believe it. And you know what? You read me well. But it's also what you've just told me is kind of like a reminder
right.
to help me for my guidance.
Well, thank you so much for
thank
calling
you,
me,
Allison.
Linda.
Thank you, Allison. I wish we had more time.
Me too. Well, we'll have to chat some more some other time. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Allison. Bye-bye.
Have a great day. Okay, I'm running out of time, so I'm going to have to say goodbye to you all. I really appreciate you joining me. I hope that we learned something today. I really enjoyed everyone that called in. Thank you for calling. And as always, I wish you all love, peace, and abundance. Talk to you next week.